Welcome to the Craft of Coaching podcast, where you'll learn about how to become a life coach with a strong skill set through understanding the craft of coaching. I'm Kate Swoboda. As director of a life coach training and certification program called the Courageous Living Coach Certification, I'm passionate about the craft of coaching and how we evolve our skills and the industry. Learn more about the Courageous Living Coach Certification Program at teamclcc.com. That's teamclcc.com. And here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. Kate Swoboda, also known as Kate Courageous, coming at you with another episode of the Craft of Coaching podcast. It has been such an interesting season. Because first of all, when I started the Craft of Coaching podcast, I was very clear that I did not want to do a marketing podcast. And that is still true. And that is not what this podcast is going to be. I don't want to do a marketing podcast in part because marketing, it's like, you know, have you ever heard the phrase where it's like, there are the things that you're good at and then there are the things that you're meant for? I think marketing is one of those things that if I want to be, I can be good at, but it's not what I'm meant for. It's not what I want to spend the bulk of my time thinking about, talking about, all that, beyond the practicalities of needing to do that to run a business. So I've been very conscious that with the craft of coaching, we're not going to go into a heavy marketing direction. And yet, I am not opposed to talking about marketing as it applies to the craft of coaching in the sense that there's a mindset that you need. There are commitments you need to make to the success of your business. And if you don't, it's going to impact whether or not you have a business, right? Like this very practical reality. And so it's been this interesting thing to be recording episodes for this season and talking a little bit and pulling back the curtain behind why CLCC, the Courageous Living Coach Certification, decided, okay, it's time to get fully ICF accredited around, you know, what are the best ways to learn about marketing? Like, how does one actually learn about marketing? Like, what do you do, you know? Because I know that when I first started learning about marketing myself, it felt a little bit like as if someone had handed me a trigonometry book and kind of went, here you go, study up. And, oh, and by the way, how well you know this depends on the amount of money you'll make. No pressure, no pressure at all. For those of you who went through school and you were always awesome at trig, bravo. I was always a word person, a talker, as you can imagine. And that was something of a harbinger of what was to come with my career being, you know, wordy little writer, wordy little podcaster, wordy little life coach. Director, facilitator, talk, talk, talk. I do a lot of talking. So this season of The Craft of Coaching has ended up focusing on some of those topics. And one of the things that I do, because we have a community that we maintain for graduates of the Courageous Living Coach Certification, and they are the people that I'm often thinking of whenever I am thinking of topics that might be of interest. And I also poll them sometimes and ask, you know, what would you like to see me cover? I got a new season of The Craft of Coaching coming out. And one of our graduates, Misty Stewart, who is at Soul and is all spelled out, Choice, soulandchoice.com, wanted me to talk about working on your business versus working in your business. And so I thought, okay, yeah, I can clarify that. Do I have an interest in ever devoting Craft of Coaching episodes to the top 5 hacks that are going to make your Facebook ads perform better, that are going to improve your sales pages or any of that? Nope. But if you do want my take on that, because I don't want to do like ongoing podcasts on the topic of marketing, but if you do want my take on marketing, especially if you want values-based marketing, check out the Coaching Blueprint, which is at coachingblueprint.com. And we're actually in the process. We make annual updates. You get lifetime access to the program once you're a Coaching Blueprint user. And we're in the process of making updates right now that are going to be rolling out in the next couple months. And when they're ready, everybody who owns the program is automatically going to get them. No need to re-up. That's just how I roll. It's part of my values with marketing. So let me talk about this working on your business versus working in your business. And I'm actually going to invert it and first talk about working in your business. So working in your business, as I see it, is what you're doing on a pragmatic day-to-day level. Like right now, just looking at a post-it note that I have on my desk of things that I need to do, I am going to be solidifying the curriculum for an upcoming bonus call that we're giving to our Courageous Living Coach certification participants, only to them. I am in the process of hiring a content manager, and I have a proposal that I need to review more in depth. I did a quick glance at it when I saw it come in, but I need to actually look at it more. And then I have an email from someone who is taking part in CLCC's major concentrations, and I want to make sure that I respond to the questions from that participant who is registered for our major concentration training. Major concentrations, in case anyone wants to know. We treat our program very similarly to maybe how a college or university would set things up. There's our core curriculum, which covers all of the ICF core competencies and gets you all set up with the holistic skill set. You know, I wouldn't say it's foundational. I'd say there's foundational aspects to it, but it's a very holistic skill set. And then our participants can opt to do deep dives into what we call major concentrations. And currently we offer four of those: somatic, career, executive, and health and wellness. So that if you want to niche up, and if you want to go into executive coaching, you want to learn a lot about how to create a proposal that could be submitted to a corporate or organization to come and be their in-house coach for their employees, which is, by the way, something that's becoming very popular. That is the type of thing we talk about in our executive coach training. So I want to make sure that I respond to that email because there are some questions about the major concentrations. And that, my friends, would just be an example of things that you're doing in your business. So me recording this podcast episode right now in my business. Working on your business, however, is different. Working on your business is when you're sitting down and you're going, okay, what do I want to roll out this year? Like, it's a new year. Are there any programs that I want to roll out? Working on your business is what needs to go on my stop doing list. What are the things that are inefficient? What are the things that, you know, they're really not bringing me the ROI for my time? Where are the places where I don't feel fully aligned with my values, or there's an opportunity for me to be even more aligned with my values? To me, all of those are examples of working on your business. So working in your business is day-to-day tasks. What are the things that you need to do on a practical level? Because if you don't, like if you don't answer those emails from clients, they're not going to keep hiring you, right? Working on your business would be looking at, how do I want to set up my life so that answering emails from clients is not a thing where I'm going, oh my God, I forgot that email, right? Like, how am I setting up my life, my business, so that the way that I approach what I do has some kind of system, some kind of operational backbone behind it? And the question was posed in terms of not just how do you work, you know, like what is the difference between the two concepts, but there was also an element to it that was about how. How do you find the time for both? And so that's what I will talk about next. How do you set up the time for both? Now, one resource that I will direct you to is episode 7 of the Craft of Coaching podcast. In case you're wondering, yes, I did have to just like pause myself recording and then go look at the list of episodes and go, okay, I feel like I've talked about time before. And it has been a while, so I actually feel like I need to go listen to that episode again, because it's possible some things about how I organize time might have changed. But currently, here's the way that I approach this, okay? First of all, there is a planner that I use and have used for the past couple years called the Daily Greatness Planner. I am not an affiliate for Daily Greatness, by the way. I'm not getting a kickback mentioning them on this podcast. So dailygreatness.co. And let me see here on my desk. It is the, yeah, it's just Daily Greatness Business Planner. Actually, let me pull it out here real quick. You can probably hear some paper shuffling and stuff like that going on in the background. So it's a Daily Greatness Planner. And at the end of each year, I do like a little wrap up. And in fact, for assessing some of how my year has gone, I actually use my own planner, which I share with Coaching Blueprint subscribers completely for free. I have two different planners that I give away totally for free. One is the Courageous Living Planner. The other is the Coaching Blueprint Planner. And if you are a Your Courageous Life subscriber, yourcourageouslife.com/begin, or a Coaching Blueprint subscriber, coachingblueprint.com/begin, you can get either of those free. And I have done them every year for the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And the reason I started sharing them for free is because they're all the questions that I ask myself to get really clear on, like, what is my year in review? What's been going on? What do I need to shift? I know some people are motivated by the promise of what they can create. I'm definitely motivated in those ways, but I often find that I can generate a lot of ideas about what I want to create. And practically speaking, I need to look at the stuff that I need to stop doing, or the like things that are not working, before I'm really going to be able to get into any of those things that I want to create. So for me, it's a more efficient use of my time to first go, okay, what has this past year been for my life, if I'm using the Courageous Living Planner, for my business, if I'm using the Coaching Blueprint Planner? What has gone well? What has not gone well? What am I proud of? What am I going, oh, that was a shit show? What are the things that I definitely, like, you know, you feel it in your soul. You're like, okay, I need to stop doing that. And I'm not talking about tough times in your business, especially when you're a newer beginning coach. I mean, I have a Craft of Coaching episode on not quitting, because you're going to be tempted to quit. I'm talking about the things where it's like, okay, this is ridiculous. I need to quit doing this. And an example that I'll give that is related, that I'm working on, that is related to working in your business versus on your business, is a huge hook for me that gets me in trouble every time is the phrase, this will only take a minute. I'll just do it myself. Oh, it's like, I'm like taking a deep breath right here. That phrase, it is so tempting to me. And podcasting has been a huge area where I've had that phrase going on. And the way that it always happens is I'm the one recording the episodes at my home office studio. And the little phrase will come in, and I'm the one who needs to, it's just more efficient this way. I'm the one who needs to jot down the quick synopsis of what the episode is going to be about. It would not make sense, because it really does only take me 5 minutes once I've recorded the episode to go, okay, like, what's a short summary of what this episode is about? Wouldn't be efficient to pay a contractor to listen to 30-minute podcast episodes and then write up their own summary. And then maybe I'll go, that doesn't quite work, or that's not quite what I was wanting to emphasize in the summary, or da-da. It's just faster for me to do it. Now that one, I can hear this already. Somebody's gonna be like, girl, can I coach you on that? Cause I just heard it. No. That one, that short summary, that one I'm fine with. But then what happens is I go, okay, it'll only take me a minute to upload this episode to the cloud where we keep all our files so that the next person can grab it. And then I'll go, you know what? It'll just take me a minute to go update the podcast tracking sheet. And then, you know what? I might as well just pop open WordPress and go ahead and upload a new blog post, because I always, you know, insert these into a blog post. And then I start going, well, it'll only take me a minute to go ahead and upload it to Libsyn, our podcast host. And then, well, you know, I'm already here in Libsyn. I might as well just go ahead and like pop the summary that I just took a moment to type. And you see how this goes. So this would be a prime example of getting stuck working in your business when you need to be working somewhere else in your business, something no one else can do, Or it would just be better for me to be working on my business, taking a step back, looking at the top level strategy. So rather than spending my time just sitting there staring at a computer screen waiting for a file to upload, it would be a lot more beneficial for me to be working on the things that only I can really work on. Curriculum for this call, making a decision about this proposal I've received for a contractor, responding to these very specific questions from a participant in our training that, you know, can't just be answered with a templated email. They're very specific questions. So gives you an idea, right, of what the difference can be. And I, you know, it's that thing of like when it's over and over and over that sentence of, it'll just take me a minute. It'll just be faster if I do it. I'll just go ahead and do that real quick. Oh, no, 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 no. So I look at things in my business that are not working in the ways that they should using the coaching blueprint planner. And I look at the thing, I take a similar inventory of my life each year. That prepares me really, really well for the Daily Greatness Planner. So the Daily Greatness Planner, love it. It starts out with like, what is your long vision? What are your goals for the year? They do some stuff that I don't fill out some of these sheets, but I really like sitting down and getting to revisit aspects of what my vision is for the year. And I try to always put like a stretch goal in there, something that I think is going to be outside my comfort zone or a little bit more than I've done before, or that's going to require me to learn some kind of a new skill. I put my vision into my Daily Greatness Planner, and then the planner is broken down into a quarterly check-in and then a weekly check-in. And it's kind of hard to explain if you don't have it in front of you, but I mean, you get the gist of it, I would imagine. And so if my long vision, I'll just go ahead and like pop this open real quick here. Look at this. You're getting like everything live and unfiltered. So there are a couple of different things. I mean, speaking of quarterly goals, hiring a content manager. I knew way back in January I was going to need to hire a content manager. So I actually have as a quarterly goal that I'm going to hire a content manager. I have actions that are needed in order to complete this project. One of them, for instance, was giving more training to some other members of my team. Because one thing that I know is that when you hire a new person, they have a lot of questions because they're learning. And so I don't want to be the only person that they can turn to for questions. So training other people on my team as to how certain aspects of that role work will free me up in the long term. Even though it slows me down a little bit, it'll free me up in the long term. I'm also looking at operations documents. Do I have screen recordings of tasks on file that somebody can consult? Do I have a checklist, you know, in our operations documentation? And as you can imagine, that's ongoing work. You know, stuff pops up all the time like, oh no, we don't have an ops for that. Let's go ahead and create an ops for it. This is part of working on your business instead of in your business. And in fact, that's a great example with the ops stuff, because when I didn't have ops documentation, it was perpetually a situation of anytime a new person came on board, if they had questions, I was like sending these long emails, and then these long emails just disappear into the ether, right? And then the next time that I would be working with someone, and sometimes people would have similar questions, it would be retyping a whole new email. I know, right? Can you believe it? And finally, it was like, oh yeah, I got to actually get this stuff documented. So I have a whole operations ops system. So I'm looking at tasks like that as part of my quarterly goals. Another quarterly goal, I'm working on my second book proposal. And so that's like then translating into my week. So quarterly, hire a content manager. Quarterly, finish a book proposal. And then week by week, what do I need to be doing to make more progress on that book proposal? For the most part, spoiler alert, everybody, it's just carving out the time for it, because writing a book, very creative act. You can't really, I don't think, or at least it's never worked for me. You can't really tell yourself, I'm going to write chapter one today. At least for me, if I try to take that approach, it is almost guaranteeing that I'm going to have writer's block and not be able to write anything that I feel good about. So instead, it's more like, okay, block off the 2 hours here, block off the 2 hours here. Hiring a content manager, I mentioned that I need to train some team members. I need to get some ops documentation set for this person. Obviously, I mentioned a couple times, it's on my post-it note, I need to respond to a proposal. These are the sorts of things that would go into my week. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, but Kate, like, what if I have a full-time job and kids and all the things? Like, how do I do that? Okay, so when you are strapped for time, you've got the kids and the job, the salary job, and you're trying to build your business and you're trying to like actually have a life, I highly recommend a module in the coaching blueprint on 4-hour marketing. Now, I was not at all intending to make some kind of a play on Tim Ferriss when I did 4-hour marketing, I promise. It literally was that I looked at, when I wrote the coaching blueprint, I did not have a team at all. So I wrote the coaching blueprint very much understanding the time crunch that a new and emerging coach is dealing with. And I went and I said, what are the most essential things that you have to be doing for your business each week? And then I put a time on it and then I added it all up and added up to 4 hours. So that's the story behind that. And I highly recommend it. I will let you know too, what do I have going on right now? Like just in my own life, because part of it is, and there is an episode in this Craft of Coaching season on commitment, part of it is just deciding I am going to do this. And at least for me, one of the things that has helped the most in recent years around really not getting caught in a lot of overwhelm was just really understanding down to my bones that there are two ways to do anything in life. Stressed or not stressed. I can look at my to-do list and I had to hear this over and over and over and really had to get challenged on the ways in which I was arguing against my own interests and just insisting that my situation was different, it was harder, it was all these things. And it finally clicked, like, I have a choice every single day. I can be recording this podcast episode right now, and the back of my mind can be, oh my God, I got to go check on the curriculum for that call and I got to respond to that proposal. And then I have that email. I got to answer the question. Or I can be recording this podcast episode and just going, okay, I'm kind of excited to record this podcast episode. That's where I want to put my attention. Either way, the same task needs to be completed. And either way, it will take the same amount of time. It will not take me any different amount of time to respond to a proposal, whether I'm stressed about it or I'm chill about it. It will take the same amount of time for me to respond to somebody's email, whether I'm stressed about it or whether I'm chill about it. You could even argue that, in fact, being stressed about it could impair my cognitive abilities, my ability to concentrate, my ability to focus and say what I need to say when I'm doing any of these things. And it might even take me more time if I'm stressed out. But I just like being in this space of like, hey, here's the reality of it as far as I understand it. I can do it either way. It's the same task. It's the same amount of time. So what do I want to put my attention on? Where do I want to put my focus? It's totally up to me. I'm the one in choice around that. So in terms of how do you actually figure out where to put all of the things, I would direct people to the coaching blueprint, the 4-hour marketing. I would say, check out the Craft of Coaching episode on a day in what it's really like to be a life coach, you know, day in the life, stuff like that. And then the other thing I'd say too is that you do what you can do and you really just have to keep doing what you can do. And I know that that sounds like the duh statement of the year, but if you are working a full-time salary job and trying to build your coaching business and you're a parent and you have a partner and friends and you want time for self-care and for a life, like literally you are going to need to ask yourself, what are the things I need to cut And hours of Netflix and chill might be something that you need to cut. Spending a lot of time on social media might be something you need to cut. I don't know. You know, it's your life. You'll know those things that don't really rejuvenate you, reset you, make you feel good, or feel like they are very fulfilling. And with the time that is remaining, you just do the best you can with what you've got. Now, sitting here now in the life that I have now, do I have more things I wish I could do? Oh, hell yes. Do I wish that I had more time for speaking gigs? Yeah, that would be awesome. Do I have ideas for speaking gigs? Yeah, that would be awesome. Do I wish that I had more time for group coaching? Yes. Do I wish I could take on more clients? I love coaching. Yes. Do I wish I had more hours in the day to work on my book? I love writing. Yes. But I got the time that I got. I've got the time that I've got. And similarly, to what I said earlier about how the task will take as much time as it takes and you can be stressed or not, I'm like, I've got the time I've got. And I can be stressed about how much I do have or don't have, or I can just accept that I've got what I've got and I can prioritize accordingly. So those are my thoughts on working on your business, working in your business, and everything in between. And I sincerely hope that they have been helpful in giving you some ideas for how you can approach the two different places from which a successful business is really created. I think the last thing that I would just pop in here and add, would be that you do need to make sure you're not spending all your time working in your business. And just accept the first couple of years, you're probably going to be doing a lot more working in your business than you would like. And I have absolutely seen the coaches and the coach training programs, and right from the get-go, they're encouraging their people to, frankly, get saddled with debt, hiring a bunch of contractors to try to push to scale really, really fast. And you know what else I see? I see the aftermath of that kind of suggestion from a coach training. I see the coaches who get completely burnt out or who spend a lot of money trying to brand themselves really early on and then realizing, oh, actually, I want to do something different with my brand. I've just spent all that money branding myself in that direction and it didn't work. I have seen people just really push the graduates of their training programs to hustle out there and make money as if money is the only metric. Now, don't get me wrong. I want the graduates of my program to be making money. Absolutely. And I want them to do it in ways that are sustainable. I don't want them burning out. I don't want them trading one job that wasn't working for them only to create coaching, which our people are in love with. They're like, yes, I found the career that works for me. I don't want people to then make coaching into this thing that's just this big hustle and they're hiring all these contractors and they've never managed people and they don't even know where their next clients are coming from and they're paying people. It's like, no. Like, stop the madness with the way to grow a business is to get a team and scale. You got to work, you know, on your business, not in your business. From day one. No, maybe not even from year one. Do you need to do a little bit of working on your business rather than in your business? Yes. And the most successful coaches I know, the coaches who started just like me with no clients and time and a laptop, and that's about it. You know, all of us, what we have in common was that we had to grow organically and sustainably. And a lot of the time we had to do the grunt work ourselves at the beginning. And that actually taught us and saved us time later for how we wanted a contractor to do something or for spotting the inefficiency that maybe the contractor never would have noticed or for saying, here's how we need to do this or that thing in a way that's going to save us time later. So if you have been feeling a push, like you have to go out and hire all these people and have a team and scale and Now breathe. Hang out with the craft of coaching. Work on your business, yes. I'm not saying neglect it, but just accept that there will be a fair amount of working in your business. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a punishment. It's not you having to do something that is beneath you. It is you learning the ins and outs of all that you need to do And you will absolutely offload the things that you don't want to be doing when the time is right and when it doesn't feel like a financial pinch and a bunch of stress. And you will get there. You really will. All right, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment to give us a rating in iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast, so helpful, because that helps other people to learn about this podcast and also listen in. You might also want to become a subscriber so that you always get the latest episodes. If you head over to the Courageous Living Coach Certification website at teamclcc.com, that's teamclcc.com, and sign up to be a subscriber, not only will you get the first information about whenever we open up enrollment, you will also get access to a number of bonuses, like our Become a Coach video series, invitations to webinars on the craft of coaching, and so much more. So I hope that I see you over there. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day.